ज्ञानेर्भवति भारत। अध्युत्थानम् अधर्मशम् तदात्मानम् सृजाम्यहम्। परित्राणाय साधुना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता। धर्म संस्थापनार्थाय शम्भवानि युगे युगे शम्भवानि युगे युगे। हरेर्नाम हरेर्नाम हरेर्नामैव केवलम्। नास्तेव 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 गतिरन्यथा।
Good morning and welcome to our weekly Krishna Consciousness Radio Show. Wishing you a very happy and prosperous day. We invite you all to visit the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville Revived Highway, also known as Highway 28. The prayers there in the temple starts every morning from 4:30 with Mangal Aarti. Then there is Lord Singar Aarti at 7 o'clock and the darshan is closed from 1 to 4 p.m. after the midday Bhoga Aarti. The darshan then reopens at 4 p.m. followed by Sandhya Aarti at 7 and the temple closes for the day with the evening Aarti at 9 p.m. Every Sunday, there is a special public program called Sunday Love Feast, which starts with Kirt at 12 o'clock. The midday Aarti of their lordships is held at 12:30 and from 1 o'clock there is a discourse based on Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, after which we practice Japa meditation for a while, followed by Guru Puja of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the program ends with a love feast at 2:30. All of you, along with you, family and friends, please come along and visit their lordship Sri Radha Giridhari, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra and Gauranitai and get their blessings by listening to their holy teachings and honoring Mahaprasad, and get yourself and your friends blessed.
Tonight we are honored to have with us a very special guest, His Holiness Swayam Bhagavan Keshava Swami, known affectionately as S.B. Keshava Swami. Swamiji is a spiritual author, community mentor, dynamic teacher, and worldwide traveler. In 2002, after graduating from University College London with a BSc in Information Management, he adopted full-time monastic life to expand his knowledge, to deepen his spirituality, and to share these timeless principles with the wider society. For more than 20 years, Keshava Swami was a resident monk at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, one of the most important centers of Hindu life in the United Kingdom and the UK headquarters of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, popularly known as ISKCON. As a respected and admired young Hindu leader in the UK, Keshava Swami has had the honor of hosting or engaging with religious and secular leaders, including the Archbishop of Canterbury, Prime Ministers such as David Cameron and Rishi Sunak, and Her Majesty the late Queen Elizabeth II. While based at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, he pioneered an innovative learning initiative called the School of Bhakti, and you can learn more at schoolofbhakti.com, and also led the temple's monastic training program, as well as driving forward national outreach initiatives. In 2022, he accepted vows of lifelong renunciation and a commitment to teaching and serving as a monk, and was formally awarded sannyas, the highest monastic order in Hindu traditions. Keshava Swami has designed numerous courses on Hindu theology, lifestyle management, and spiritual self-development, and has authored 10 books which bring the ancient wisdom into the modern context. He is especially known both for his deep study of sacred texts, such as the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavad Purana, and his ability to articulate the universal and timeless wisdom of these texts for all people. And I'm sure that's exactly what he will do with us tonight. Now, we're going to do something a little unusual in that we're changing up the format a little bit. So in discussing this evening's program with Swamiji, we both felt that we really wanted the tone to be more conversational than sometimes a lecture allows. And so you're all invited to be part of this conversation. But sometimes, if you're like me, you feel a little intimidated to just jump into a conversation. And you feel a little bit more intimidated to jump into a conversation with a Swami. And you feel a lot intimidated to jump into a conversation with a Swami who's over 7 feet tall.
And who's also holding a stick.
So with that in mind, we thought, how do we have a conversation without putting anyone on the spot? And our dear friend, who is going to introduce himself a little bit and give a little bit of his background, but we will call him Hari. Our dear friend Hari decided to step up and offer his services. And so,
hold your buzz.
I love how hold your applause is actually, oh, for please applaud. So Hari has agreed that rather than putting a Princeton student on the spot, Hari has agreed for one night and one night only, I'm told by the admissions office, to embody the role of a Princeton student. So by the power vested in me, I hereby appoint you an honorary member of the class of 2026.
I got my own stick.
So we're going to invite Hari to kick off our conversation, embodying the role of perhaps a typical or prototypical student. And maybe this will spark some of our own questions, some of our own thoughts, reflections, and will perhaps melt the ice, so to speak. So we'll ask Swami and Hari to engage in some conversation. And at the conclusion of that, we will open up for some question and answer. Now, if anyone is feeling like you want to ask a question, but maybe you're a little shy or you want to keep the question anonymous, we also have some note cards and pens, and we can send those around. So if you wouldn't mind, we'll just kind of send those around to everyone. And just if in the course of the conversation, it sparks a question or a thought for you that you'd like addressed, we want to invite you to just jot down that question or that comment, and then you can just sort of get that card to me, and we'll get your question to the Swami. But now, without further ado, let's kick off the conversation. But before we do that, will you please join me in giving, we've already given the honorary member of the class of 2026 a round of applause, but would you please join me in giving our very, very special guest speaker, His Holiness S.P. Keshava Swami, a warm Princeton University welcome.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Definitely after this program, I'm going to put on my LinkedIn profile, speaker at Princeton University. So my name is Hari. I also had a biography, but it was conveniently left out.
For humility's sake.
So I grew up in a little background about me. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. And I went to The Ohio State University, which is about, if you don't know about that, it's like about the same ranking as Princeton almost. So when I was growing up, I grew up here in America. My parents are from India. And I found myself in a very tricky situation when I was younger. I didn't really know I don't know what Hinduism was. I had to lead I'm still leading to this day, a sort of dual identity of my parents are Indians who grew up in India, who migrated to America, but I have to somehow live both cultures. And I really don't understand what this is all about. And I'm a very confused college student and I want to get deeper into my faith, but I don't know exactly how to do it. And I was asked today to, it's a good opportunity because I can ask my deepest, darkest questions to Swami here. And I consider myself very fortunate. So I was thinking we could start with just in any good debate or conversation, let's define our terms. So Swami, I'm trying to understand what is Hindu, the topic tonight is demystifying Dharma. What exactly is Hinduism? And what does Dharma come into it? And are you a Hindu? And what is Dharma? Could you define these things for us?
Thank you so much. Thank you everyone for coming. Just before I begin, my deep gratitude to Vineet, the program here at Princeton, for inviting me. And thank you, Hari, for your questions. I feel your struggle. I also grew up in London. My parents are from India. And I also grew up in a Hindu family with Hindu values. But I think it was about 15 or 16 years old when I had the same questions as you. And this is perhaps a very good place to start. Where does the word Hindu actually come from? How is it that we come to identify ourselves as Hindus? Do we identify ourselves as Hindus? In Sanskrit, there are two beautiful words, Vyavaharik and Paramarthik. Vyavaharik means conventional, practical usage. And then Paramarthik means absolute or essential understanding. And so for practical and conventional usage, we often refer to ourselves as Hindus. Of course, if you look at the tradition of India and the actual scriptures from which Hindus derive all their knowledge and understanding, you won't actually find the word Hindu there. I won't go into the whole history of the term. I'm sure many of you are familiar. But it was a term which was actually coined by those outside of the Vedic culture to refer to those who were followers of the Vedas or the ancient teachings found in India. And so Hinduism is a terminology which evolved as a cultural term, which was later adopted by the British and which later on just stuck in the Indian subcontinent. And now people come to refer to themselves as Hindus. So in conventional usage, yes, I'm a Hindu. But then in essential understanding, in a higher understanding, the actual terminology we use is Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan Dharma literally means one's eternal duty, one's eternal purpose, one's eternal essential being. And you also asked about the word Dharma. So Dharma is a very, very beautiful word and sometimes a word which is difficult to translate because it's so multidimensional. But Dharma literally comes from the Sanskrit root dhri, which means that which holds or that which sustains, or the intrinsic or essential quality of something from which it cannot be separated. And so each one of us have something which sustains us, something which is essential to our being, and some unique contribution that we're meant to offer to the world. And so the scriptures explore various types of dharma that each one of us have, which really define and awaken our potential in this world.
Hmm. Wow. Thank you so much for that. I think even before we talk about our definitions, I like to know what I'm kind of looking at here. So if I don't know how to word this properly what exactly are you? And what's with the stick? Are you, I know you're a Princeton fan because you're wearing orange. You know, what's with the stick? Is it like I'm trying to understand what exactly are you?
Thank you so much. Yes. Sometimes I wonder that myself. So again, they could be a Vyavaharic answer and they could be a Paramarthic answer. The essential answer, the highest answer is that I'm a spiritual being as you are. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. So who are we? We're spiritual beings. We're kind of in this world, which is a transit lounge. We all came from different places and we take on various identities, bodies, minds, psychologies. We act out roles. As Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage and each person an actor and everyone has their entrance and exit. So in the highest Paramarthic understanding, we're all spiritual beings. We're not man or woman. We're not Indian or English or American. We're not tall or short. We're spirit souls. But then as spirit souls, we take on identities and roles in this world. And so in this life, the role that I took up in order to pursue my spirituality was the path of renunciation. And so I guess I sit before you today, clad in saffron robes and with a stick. Watch out. And what this signifies is someone who is treading the path of renunciation. A very, very beautiful teaching in the Vedic body of knowledge is that one can take whatever path comes most naturally to them. So some will very much live in the world, function with family, with career, and connect with divinity through that lifestyle. And others will turn away from the world to some extent, still engage with the world, but engage with the world for a different purpose in a different way. So when I was 21, I graduated from university, but I had this calling to deepen my own spirituality and to try to share it with the world in a way that's empowering, in a way that's relevant, in a way that really helps people to find well-being on every level. And so I became a monk when I was 21. When you enter monastic life, you become what we call in Sanskrit a brahmachari. And that means a student monk. And then at a certain point through one's monastic journey, if they decide to embrace lifelong renunciation, then they may accept the order of sannyas. And sannyas means, they call it the final vow. At that point, you close all the doors and you say, now I just dedicate the rest of my life to deepening and sharing spirituality. So in 2002, I was awarded the sannyas order of life. When we take sannyas, then we accept a danda. So this is a danda. And it has three bamboo sticks within it. Bamboo is very beautiful because when any air goes through a bamboo, as you know, flutes, for example, then it sets off a very, very beautiful sound. So the first thing about the danda is it's made from bamboo and it's meant to signify that words of divinity, words of higher dimensional beauty and spiritual depth should emanate from the mouth of someone who has taken up this spiritual path. And so we carry the danda to remind ourselves that we're trying to share spirituality with people in a very beautiful and empowering way. And the three sticks within the danda represent the mind, the body, and the words. And so we carry it with us to almost cement and remind ourselves of the identity and the role that we've accepted.
Thank you. Swami, I'll just say one inner desire that I have. I'm trying to get serious about my spiritual life. I'm trying to get really serious.
Glad to hear it.
Like really serious. But I don't really jive with this type of, you know, wearing the orange, shaving the head, picking up the stick. You know, it seems, it seems that do I have to do all these things to be serious in my spiritual life? It seems like, can I contribute to society? Like, isn't it a little bit, okay, I'm not trying to insult you here, but isn't it kind of selfish to kind of like leave like society, like job, like your job, your like having a wife, having a child, and making an actual contribution to society, and then instead of that, just sitting in a temple or like a monastery and doing my own meditation? How do you reconcile these things?
Everyone in this world has a dharma, as we talked about, a unique contribution to make in the world. And everyone makes a valuable contribution in their own way. Some people will accept a career in this world, and through their career, they'll earn a living, and then also share that success with others, with their family and with wider society, and make a contribution. Some people, as I said, will take the path of renunciation, and they still continue to contribute to the world. They contribute to the world by setting an example. They contribute to the world by sharing wisdom and knowledge. They contribute to the world by showing the world that wealth is not measured by how much you have, but how little you actually need. It's not measured by possessions or acquisitions, but it's actually measured by inner satisfaction and happiness and fulfillment. And so in this way, whatever path one accepts in this world, they can make a valuable contribution. To bring up children, to have children, and to nurture them into the future generations that will serve the world is a very beautiful thing to do. And monks, what they do, it's said that they give up one family in order to embrace the whole world as their family. And so monks will also continue to nourish people, share their heart, offer themselves in selfless service, but in a different way. When we become monks, we don't remove ourselves from society, but we do spend time in disconnection to uplift our consciousness. But then we come back into the world and we try to share a spiritual message with a world that really needs it. Einstein said you can't solve the problems of the world with the same type of thinking that created them in the first place. And so what we try to share with the world is a different paradigm, a different approach, a different perspective of how they can live life. And so, and the final thing I'd say is that our spiritual practices and our individual cultivation is not selfish, because ultimately you can't really share what you don't have. You can't take the world to a higher place than what you've reached internally yourself. And so by spending time in our own spiritual cultivation, by uplifting our consciousness, by purifying our character, we actually then emerge in the world as conscious change makers, able to actually give something of a higher quality to people.
Wow. Thank you so much for putting it. That makes me a little bit easy-minded now. But I was just, one question that I've always had in my mind, you know, it seems like every religion in this world has like a founder, you know, has a person, you know, like Christians have like Jesus Christ, Muslims have Muhammad or someone like that. Like, but in when I try to explain my own faith, Hinduism, I feel like we don't really have like a star player, you know, like who's our Tom Brady or like, you know, or Kobe Bryant, because it seems like if we all unify around one person, but I talk to every single person and they're all doing like 10 different things, you know? So who is kind of like our guy that we can go to?
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Or girl.
I think it comes back to what I talked about previously about the word Hindu. Hinduism is almost an umbrella term under which many, many different strands or schools of thought, or what we call in Sanskrit sampradayas, exist. We can say there are four main branches within Hinduism. You have Shaivites, who revere Lord Shiva. You have Shaktas, who revere the divine feminine. You have Vaishnavas, who revere Vishnu or Krishna. And then you have the Smartas, who have more of a perhaps impersonal understanding of the absolute. And within each one of those strands, you also have different lineages. So we do have star players, and each of those star players exist within different lineages. They're called Acharyas, they're called Gurus. You may have heard some of their names, like Shankaracharya or Ramanujacharya or Madhvacharya or Vallabhacharya. These are all star players. They're the Kobe Bryants of Hinduism. And therefore, within whichever school and whichever sampradaya and whichever lineage one connects, they will find those inspirational personalities upon whose life and legacy the lineage continues.
Mm. Thank you for that. I was just following up on that. You seem to have a certain path or a certain lineage. You were talking about that. Now, it seems like you have chosen a certain lineage or a certain practice, but you're talking about how different paths kind of, they get inspiration in those paths. So why choose a specific path in itself? It seems very sectarian. Isn't it just better to worship everybody? Like, just to worship everyone and respect everyone. Why have you, what's the reason of choosing a specific and certain path?
Yeah. I heard you were accepted as a Princeton class of 2026. Yes, that's... So it looks like you made a decision to come to Princeton. There are many universities. I don't know how many universities in this country. And they all are academic and eminent institutions. And I'm sure you respect all of them. And you have probably friends in them. And perhaps you wanted to go to one of them and you ended up here. Or maybe you wanted to come here. I'm not sure. But you made a decision. Right? So it's kind of like that. Within Hinduism, there are various schools, and each school can be respected and each school can be honored and revered. Yet one will participate within one of those schools and then accept that teaching, that emphasis, those sets of practice, and that particular yoga path which is given in order to awaken divine connection. So Princeton is not the only place you can study and get a degree. But by coming here, something resonated with you and you'll get some gift from that. And so in the same way, Hindus revere and respect and see the unity and diversity of different strands, and yet will be connected and affiliated and will give their heart to one of those schools so that they can practice it with love and devotion.
Ah,